Hosanna.
Hosanna.
I didn't expect that. Thanks, choir. To the Son of David. The crowd cheers on what we call Palm Sunday as they see Jesus enter Jerusalem, riding conspicuously on a donkey and a colt, a fulfillment of scripture from Zechariah about a sort of signal for the Messiah's entrance. Hosanna to the Son of David. God saves us. This was a proclamation by the people that indicated that Jesus wasn't just a prophet, as the scripture says when they say, who is this? Oh, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth. Hosanna to the Son of David said a little bit more than that. It said the promised king, not just the Messiah, but a king in the line of King David to restore after 1,000-some years, to restore Jerusalem, that Jesus was that man sent by God. The crowd was filled with energy. And this Sunday was just days before the Passover celebration, when pilgrims would have come from all over the region to celebrate the most holy holiday in the most holy place. Now, inevitably, some of those who had gathered in Jerusalem that day had journeyed with Jesus. After all, it says, every town he went to, crowds went with him. And as he went to a new town, some of them didn't just stay home, they kept following to see what Jesus would do next. He was healing people, he was proclaiming God's word in a way that was changing hearts and minds, and people were beginning to believe. Now, on the other side of that, there probably were even more people gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover who hadn't been part of that journey. And so then the gossip and the whisper, like, who is this? What is happening? But in the end, people shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. And so here's what I want you to think about, what I've been thinking about. And I've been thinking about this maybe my whole life. And it's one of those pondering questions that perhaps doesn't have an easy answer. How is it, with all of the energy and the positivity, for the crowd to proclaim Hosanna to the Son of David on a Sunday, do those same people call for Jesus' death on Friday? Where's the disconnect? How do we explain the journey from Palm Sunday to Good Friday with the same group of people? Where did they miss what Jesus was all about? Because after all, Jesus seems to lean into their expectations of a king in the line of King David. He fulfills the prophecy. He tells his disciples, go get the donkey and say the Lord needs it. And they do. And he rides in. He must have known the stir that would cause. And we confess, and in many ways, if you want to think liturgically, for those who are interested, Palm Sunday finds its natural cousin on Christ the King. The end of our church year, right before Advent, is Christ the King, and we proclaim that at the end of time, Jesus will be the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings, and all earthly kingdoms will bow to him. This is a similar kind of inflection point in our year. So what kind of king does Jesus say he is? Well, Paul's letter to the Philippians gives us a really strong indication. This is called the Christ hymn. It was part of the early church's worship celebration. They would sing this hymn in worship. It says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Hold on to that for a moment. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. In other words, Jesus, as he entered into this world, was fully God, had all the divine powers at his disposal, and yet he didn't take advantage of that for himself. Instead, he emptied himself. He emptied himself, taking the form of human likeness and become obedient even to death, even death on the cross. So what kind of king did Jesus come into this world to be? At the very least, a humble one. At the very least, one who empties himself for our sake, so that every knee would bend and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't think the disciples and the crowd knew what Jesus was talking about. Their only concept of a king and a ruler was one who attains power through force and violence and maintains it through strict control. Now, in Jesus' day, this was the Roman Empire. And the Romans had an emperor, also called a Caesar. And for them, Palm Sunday, or the Passover celebration, was not just a quaint little thing that the Jewish people were doing and let them have their celebration and their gatherings. It was high alert. If you've got an occupied people being flooded with pilgrims into their most holy city at the most holy time, and someone starts to stir up trouble, the Romans' primary goal was to remind the occupied people that they were in charge. And so Pontius Pilate rides into Jerusalem at about the same time that Jesus does, not on a donkey, but on a war horse, with all of his soldiers and with all of their power and might to intimidate the crowd. Don't get out of hand and don't challenge the power. Now, in non-celebration times, what you would see as a model of an earthly king or an emperor in the Roman times is that the Caesar would send sort of subliminal messages to the people to say, "I am all-powerful and ever-present." So see if this sounds familiar. The Caesar put his face and name on the money. The Caesar would put his name on all the buildings. Just a subtle little reminder that the Caesar is in charge and you are nothing. And don't dare rise up. Don't dare to show up in the public square with 8.5 million people to say, "We don't want this." Not to be too subtle. But here's the thing. Here's what Jesus' followers and the Jewish crowd that was hoping that this would change things miss, and what we as human beings miss so easily. There is a group within the Jewish camp called Zealots, and they were on Team Jesus because they thought that Jesus was going to come in and be a king. Be a powerful king who would drive out the Romans, whether through violence or war or by any means necessary. And their goal, the Zealots, was to put their king on top And what inevitably happens when we orient ourselves around power and control and using whatever means necessary is your team that might be on the bottom could make its way to the top, and you put the other group on the bottom, and you use the same methods of coercion and violence that you were used against you. And it becomes this cyclical thing where those in power, the party voted in, acts with impunity, and those who support that group say, well, they're on my team, so they can never be wrong. And the other group, because they're against me, can never be right. And this kind of tribal thinking is disastrous to our human family. Because God's view, and this is what Jesus came to do, Jesus didn't come to be the next powerful king, which surprised everybody. He came to empty himself. For God so loved the world, all of it, that he gave his only son, that all who believe may not perish, but he have eternal life. The lines and divisions that we draw on a map, the red states and the blue states, none of it matters to God. God only sees people as beloved children. And so Jesus calls us to a different purpose. And it's not that we shouldn't engage on the issues of this day, because if you truly believe that all of God's people, all people are God's people, all people are loved, all people are worthy of dignity and respect, and should have our opportunities to care for themselves and their family, then we should fight for policies that care for people. We shouldn't blindly accept one side's version of what's true and reject the others as blatantly false. The same group of people that cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David, say, crucify him on Friday. His own disciples scatter out of fear, out of cowardice, confusion. So if you're like me, and sometimes you don't quite know what to think about what's happening, we're in good company. It's not our job to have every answer, to know the perfect solution to every situation. Our calling is to be clear-eyed about who God says we are, beloved child of God, and to see in each other the very same thing. Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, unlike every earthly power that has ever existed. Instead, with all of Jesus' power, with all of God's power within him, he gave himself away so that we might have eternal life, that we might have the promise of salvation. He emptied himself for you and the world so that his name would be exalted above every name. So as we enter this holy week, let us align our hearts with the way of Jesus. Let us pledge our allegiance to Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus needs to direct my steps and my ways, so that I might see past all of the distractions and all of the things that compete for my first allegiance. Let it be with Christ, and let us journey with him to the cross and to the glorious resurrection. Amen.